Thank you, gentlemen. The case is submitted. We'll hear arguments next in Kirchberg against Feenstra. Schoenberger, you may proceed whenever you're ready.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court. This case, entitled Kirchberg versus Feenstra, is a case that has gone back several years, and I would like to review some of the facts before proceeding into argument. In 1974, Mr. Carl Jean Kirchberg, my client, decided to represent Harold Feenstra based upon charges filed by Mrs. Feenstra against Mr. Feenstra on the basis of crimes against nature. My client accepted a mortgage on the Feenstra household based upon the law existing at that time, Articles 2404 of the Louisiana Civil Code and Articles 2334, read in para materia. Thereafter, Mr. Harold Feenstra did not pay the indebtedness owed to Mr. Kirchberg, and Mr. Kirchberg, proceeding by executory process, or as is called in the civilian phraseology, the law of Louisiana, via executiva, which is a quick seizure and sale, proceeded in the lower courts of the state of Louisiana, the Civil District Court for the Parish of Orleans.
This is the equivalent of a foreclosure in any other state, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mrs. Feenstra's counsel filed for a temporary restraining order, what we call a TRO, and finally a permanent injunction. And they claimed, of course, that Mr. Kirchberg was engaging himself as a creditor and money lender under the Truth in Lending Act. Mr. Kirchberg thereafter filed in United States District Court for the Eastern District of Louisiana, and the case was allotted to the Honorable Judge Maurice Sear. And at that time, he prayed for a declaratory judgment that he had not violated the Truth in Lending Act. And that issue was later settled and compromised, agreeable to all parties. But Mrs. Feenstra, lo and behold, counterclaims. And in her counterclaim, she argues, or she claimed, that Article 2404, Louisiana head and master provision, was unconstitutional as violative of the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution. Now, it is important to note that initially there was some discrepancy. It would appear from the record that the original counterclaim was that Article 2334 was the article which was unconstitutional. However, Judge Maurice Sear evidently felt that the gravamen of the complaint was Article 2404, the headmaster article. Thereafter, the United States District Court for the Eastern District, Mr. Kirschberg, filed a motion for summary judgment, saying that there are no material issues of fact, that indeed he should be able to proceed via executiva. And he won by way of motion for summary judgment. And Honorable Judge Sear, looking at Louisiana law and looking toward this Honorable Court's guidance, Levine versus Vincent, held that the motion for summary judgment would be granted. Thereafter, Joan Feenstra appealed to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and in that decision, the holding was that Article 2404 was unconstitutional, and the decision was reversed, but applied prospectively.
Do you think it applied to the parties or not?
We do not believe that it does, Your Honor, and this is part and parcel of the problem. Having laid down this basic structure of where we are moving, let me...
Well, if you didn't think it applied to you, why did you appeal?
Well,
why did you come here at all?
We are saying that the decision applies. It is purely prospectively, only under Linkletter.
Well, does it apply to your client or doesn't?
Your Honor, it says reversed, applied prospectively on the motion for summary judgment.
You just told me you didn't think it bound your client.
Your Honor, this is part of the problem. The underlying mortgage was executed and filed on October 22nd of 1974. The Fifth Circuit never said that the underlying mortgage is invalid. It only said that Article 2404 is unconstitutional.
So do you want to come up here to have us declare your mortgage invalid?
No, Your Honor. No. We are arguing that if this is applied purely prospectively and looks to the future, then it cannot look to the past, and it cannot look to 1974 when Carl Jean Kirschberg relied upon the civil law as it existed at that time.
But then there's no live case or controversy.
Right.
It's just purely a decision of an abstract proposition which doesn't have any effect on concrete rights of parties.
All right. This is,
why did you come here at all?
Well, Your Honor, this was one possibility, and I had to juggle with this problem.
I suppose one of your questions that you ought to ask back is why did we ever grant it?
Well, Your Honor, it's and the other way in which I have viewed this particular decision is that maybe it does apply to the parties on the motion for summary judgment, but since it looks prospectively, it does not apply to the mortgage as recorded in 1974. Because, and this is the important point to note, if we look at the Fifth Circuit language, the very end of the opinion, it says, we reverse. We apply prospectively, because not to do so would create substantial hardship within the state of Louisiana.
But to say that it applies to the parties but not to the mortgage is really kind of a conundrum, because the only controversy between the parties is with respect to the mortgage, isn't it?
It is with respect to the mortgage, Your Honor, but the situation of the case is such that it moved up on a motion for summary judgment. And indeed, if the Fifth Circuit is making any sense, and indeed Corpus Christi, also another opinion, the Supreme Court of the State of Louisiana, mentioned the substantial hardship, it must mean that Mr. Kirschberg's mortgage is valid as of the date of October 1974, because if it is not, then we do have that substantial hardship, because the new law did not come into effect till January 1, 1980.
What relief do you want?
We have 6 years.
What relief do you want?
The relief that we would have this court grant is that Article 2404 would be declared constitutional, and that Mr. Carl-Jean Kirchberg could proceed via executiva to have the Feenstra home seized and sold. This would be the relief that we would have.
You'd be just as happy, I suppose, if you had a ruling that whatever the Court of Appeals said didn't invalidate your mortgage.
Yes, Your Honor. That would be the other way of proceeding through this. All right.
And if we read the Court of Appeals decision as not invalidating your mortgage, you'd be very happy.
Yes, sir. Okay.
But then what controversy would the Court of Appeals have adjudicated if it didn't have been
We would then dismiss the appeal, I suppose. Or this. As for what a jurisdiction?
Well, the case or controversy would involve the motion for summary judgment between Mr. Kirchberg and Joan Palat Feenstra as to the constitutionality of Article 2404. And I realize the difficulties, Your Honors, and I thought about this in depth, and it is a problem. It is a problem. It's a serious problem. And that is why we are here. And that is why I've addressed the three issues before the court. What I would like to do is to proceed first with the issue of Article 2404 as it is. And of course, we begin with the private law of Louisiana contained therein in the civil code of our state, in which Article 1 states clearly, law is a solemn expression of legislative will. Of course, the law of stare decisis does not technically apply in Louisiana. We look to our legislature in determining, in true civilian fashion, as is done in Quebec and is applied in France, as to what the law is. We come to Article 17, which states clearly, all laws are to be read in pari materia. When one particular provision of the Civil Code of Louisiana does not clearly enunciate the law, or if it enunciates the law in a fashion which can be viewed as only leading to one principle, we look to the other code articles which emanate from that particular system. Article 2404. Article 17 is the article applying to the impara materia rule, which is used by civilians in interpreting our law in our jurisdiction. According
to apply that rule to our constitution.
Well, Your Honor, all I can say is the law would be what this honorable court would say the law is. What the Constitution is and how this honorable court would interpret the Constitution. If we turn to Article 2404, we read that the husband is the head and master of the community. He manages the community. He disposes of its assets. We read this in pari materia with Article 2334, which as originally enacted in 1962, and this is the provision that we are looking at, stated that the husband could not alienate the community immovable property where the woman, the wife, had filed a declaration of homestead in the mortgage and conveyance office where the parish, where the property was situated. 2334 was then later amended in 1977 to state that Community immovable property could not be alienated unless the wife filed a declaration stating to the effect that her consent was not required. So we're looking at earlier Article 2334, valid as of 1962, valid until January 1, 1977, and we're looking at Article 2404, and we are looking at this law, and we're looking at October 1977, when these events occurred. And this is a system of law which is applying at this time. In my brief, Your Honor, we have attempted to point out the unique circumstances of Louisiana law. We have pointed to the fact that Joan Pilot Feenstra had a remedy which was a very, very easy and a very simple remedy: filing the Declaration of Homestead. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ignored that issue and immediately jumped to the fact that an antenuptial agreement could have been entered into between the parties before the marriage, in which the parties would be separate in property, or they would not have community property, or that the husband alone could not mortgage the household. But they go into the point of transactional costs and the great expense of retaining an attorney before entering into marriage in Louisiana. But the fact is that no attorney was ever needed. The fact is that no antenuptial agreement was ever needed to remedy this situation. We're not looking at $300, $400, $500, although I do not ask this court to take judicial notice of the amount of attorney's fees. All we are looking at is a simple declaration, a simple, simple, very inexpensive declaration. In the notarial archives of Orleans Parish and the custodian of the records, stating to the effect that this community house cannot be alienated or mortgaged by my husband without my consent. So we feel...
Isn't your relief really one directed to the Court of Appeals for clarification of its judgment?
Well...
Rather than here?
Your Honor, we of course first address the issue of Article 2404. And at the third point, I did ask, does the decision apply to my client and to Joan Pilot Feenstra in such a way as to allow my client to have the house seized and sold? Or does it not mean that? And my feeling was that that issue was subsumed within the issues that this court would tell us what prospectivity means in this particular circumstance.
Did you ask the Fifth Circuit for clarification of its judgment?
We did not, Your Honor. We did not.
So both of you come up here not knowing what the judgment means. And this is the gist of the state of Louisiana's motion to dismiss, as I read it.
There is no case or controversy, Your Honor, but clearly there is a case or controversy because the mortgage stands in Orleans Parish. And Mr. Kirschberg, due to the injunctions, cannot seize the house, and the house is encumbered. So we stand in this dilemma of a house that's encumbered with a mortgage, without an order saying to the civil sheriff of the parish Orleans, you are notified to seize this particular property, advertise it for sale, and to sell the property. And we stand in this dilemma. It's a dilemma that both parties face.
Well, if you got together, you could sell it.
Maybe so, Your Honor.
Couldn't the Supreme Court of Louisiana solve all of that dilemma?
The Supreme Court, Your Honor?
Yes, of Louisiana solve all of your dilemmas.
I don't.
Don't you have any title clearance cases down there? Can you clear title down there?
Well, Your Honor, not in a situation such as this. They would probably be looking to this court's guidance in terms of resolving the conflict.
We would give them guidance in how to enforce their own statutes.
Well, Your Honor,
we give them guidance in how to clear up a case.
Well, Your Honor, if an order would proceed from this court that Article 2404 is constitutional, then clearly the house can be seized and sold. If an order would proceed,
what you want us to say?
Yes, Your Honor.
What you want us to do?
Well, that is the first issue in our statement of jurisdiction. Is Article 2404 unconstitutional? And we believe that it is not. If we were looking at a formal antenuptial agreement, we could agree that the situation would be quite burdensome. But considering the small amount of fees, filing fees.
Couldn't you, I'll put it this way, could you have just simply commenced your proceeding on the assumption that the Fifth Circuit meant what it seemed to have said, that this was prospective only, and then let the state courts of Louisiana wrestle with that problem?
Yes, Your Honor.
What was there to prevent you from doing that after the Fifth Circuit came down?
Well, I felt that since the court this case was in the federal system, that it should move up appropriately through the federal system, Your Honor.
You're asking us to clarify something that doesn't seem to be clear to you. That's what it amounts to, isn't it?
Well, Your Honor, what we are saying is
without knowing whether. What the Louisiana courts would have done, or whether you could have proceeded with this foreclosure?
Well, with the injunction, Your Honor, no. That is part of the problem. And we do not feel that the Fifth Circuit opinion is clear, and that is why we appealed the case.
Well, I would have thought the Fifth Circuit had said that at least as between you and your opponent, the mortgage was invalid.
But it did not say that,
well,
Your Honor.
Well, they decided the case, and any federal court, including the Court of Appeals in this case, has to decide cases before it, and one way or the other, and it can't give advisory opinions. And the very fact it decided the case leads to the inference, I would suppose, that my Brother Rehnquist has suggested, doesn't it?
Except, Your Honor, that according to Linkletter, the federal courts can apply cases prospectively only, future prospectivity.
Can do it prospectively only. Linkletter didn't say that. But I think I know what you mean. But in any event, a court always decides the case before it in favor of one party or the other. And there's no indication here that the court decided this case in your favor, is there?
There is no direct statement to the effect that the case was decided in our favor. And there was no statement to the effect that it was decided exactly in favor of Ms. Feenstra. There was no statement to the effect that the mortgage was invalid, or that the mortgage.
Well, it was either decided against you or it wasn't decided at all, wasn't it? In your case.
Unless, Your Honor, as I feel that it was decided in our favor and look toward the future from the date of December 12, 1979 on, and that the prior mortgage was valid. Because if it were not valid, then we would be in substantial chaos in Louisiana, because the law of the case could not apply to Mr. Kirschberg alone.
Why not? That would be unfair. Why?
Because if it applies to Mr. Kirschberg under McDuffie versus Wheel, all mortgages in Louisiana are only valid from the date of recordation and filing. And therefore, if the law of the Fifth Circuit is that Article 20, well, obviously the 2404 is unconstitutional, and if it applies to Mr. Kirschberg, it applies from 1974 on.
Well, counsel, at least, however, you prevailed in the district court before Judge Sear. Yes.
We did, Your Honor.
And that was reversed.
Correct.
That was reversed.
Does it follow that that's a decision against your client?
It would follow, Your Honor, that it was a reversal of the motion for summary judgment. But in terms of application of that judgment, that is another problem. And from what date and in what circumstances would that apply is again unknown. If the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals had not said to apply this case would cause substantial hardship if applied retrospectively, citing Cipriano versus City of Houma, the case involving the property bond voting restrictions to people who did not own property, then it would be much more clear. Your Honor, we would...
But the judge did cite that case.
He did cite the case, Your Honor, but he said it would...
She did. Isn't that a she?
She, yeah. Your Honor, we will reserve the rest of the time for rebuttal.
Before you sit down, counsel, the statement of jurisdiction, which was prepared by your client, has what looks to me like a duplication of the Fifth Circuit's opinion.
Yes, sir.
Is that a correct duplication, or does one take precedence over the other?
Your Honor, we received the original opinion, and we duplicated that opinion, the slip decision, and then we proceeded to copy the further West opinion also, so that there would be all decisions before the court, because we want the court to have all the relevant
cases. Well, is there a distinction between the two opinions?
There isn't, Your Honor, but we just felt that we should follow.
Why did you include them?
Well, we...
It costs money to print these days.
Quite a bit. But the judgment of the Court of Appeals was a remand, wasn't it?
It just said reversed.
For proceedings.
Reversed, Your Honor.
Yeah, well,
so.
It says, and we reverse and remand for further proceedings consistent with this opinion.
Remand.
So on a remand, what would have happened if you hadn't come here?
We would probably have...
Had trouble enforcing your mortgage, didn't you?
Well, no, Your Honor. There would have been a controversy as to the enforcement of the mortgage, and I imagine we would have had to appeal through the federal system again another time. Okay.
Ms. Hausman-Smith.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court. Appellant Kirschberg in this case has apparently confused what is a very simple case before this Court. That is whether Article 2404 is a denial of equal protection and whether it should be the Fifth Circuit lower court opinion should be applied to the party's litigant. It was not until the appeal of this court that the issue of whether Mrs. Feenster should be included in the holding of an unconstitutional holding of the Article 24 has been raised, and it was raised by Mr. Kirschberg as an 11th-hour attempt to save his mortgage. At the court below, at the district court, the state of Louisiana and the governor of Louisiana was included as a defendant in Mrs. Feenster's counterclaim. They prepared a brief to the Fifth Circuit on appeal, which stated, if the Fifth Circuit holds Article 2404 unconstitutional, and if it applies its decision prospectively only, then Mrs. Feenstra would be the only person who would benefit from the holding of unconstitutionality. Therefore, the state of Louisiana and Mrs. Feenstra were in agreement at that point that a prospective-only ruling should include the parties before the court. Is Mr. Kirchberg...
What do you mean, include them? What would include them?
An unconstitutional holding that Article 2404 would apply to the parties litigant.
But not to other,
exactly.
Other people who had made mortgages before.
Exactly. And at no
Ms.
time...
Ms. Hausman, hasn't there always been kind of an uneasiness with the case and controversy requirement about this court's retroactivity holdings and prospective only holdings? You have to have a concrete case or controversy, and yet you want to avoid undue hardship to people who have relied on pre-existing law.
Absolutely, Your Honor. That is correct. In the Fifth Circuit went through a great effort. Half of its opinion was based on the fact that there was a case of controversy before them. And then to hold that the decision should not be applied to Mrs. Feenstra would be absolute an advisory opinion. Especially, this is especially so since Article 2404 has been repealed, and as of January 1, 1980, there is no longer head and master in Louisiana, and no such mortgages with just the husband's signature can be allowed to stand. Therefore,
any of them are those executed after 1980?
That is correct, Your Honor, those executed after 1980. But in practicality, Mrs. Feenstra is the only person with a home that stands to lose at this point. Since 1977, January 1, 1977, the Louisiana legislature amended Article 2334, under which a husband would be no longer able to mortgage without his wife's consent. And therefore, any mortgages signed after 1977 on property held in names of both spouses could not be mortgaged or alienated merely by the husband's signature only. So in practicality, this is not a problem. There's no economic chaos in the state of Louisiana at this time because of a unconstitutional holding.
But the Louisiana is not the only state that operates under a community property system. And, the other states that have community property systems are in other federal circuits, so that it's by no means a symmetrical result, as if the Fifth Circuit were the only court that were ever to pass on the constitutionality of this type of statute and declare it unconstitutional but prospective only.
Your Honor, I agree with that, but there is in no sense a holding, or is Mrs. Feenstra seeking to have held that the community property system is unconstitutional. She is merely speaking about the head and master managerial powers over the community property, the real community property of parties. And Louisiana is the only state community property state that has such a provision in its legislation.
Well, the law may have changed since I practiced in Arizona, but Arizona had a community property statute where the a husband could alienate property on his own signature unless it was in fraud of the rights of the wife.
My understanding is that Louisiana is at this point in 1976 when this lawsuit was brought, was the only state with that kind of provision. But I certainly may be incorrect,
well,
Your Honor. I would like to point out that. A prospective-only holding in this case would also go against the holdings and prospective cases of the Louisiana Supreme Court. The Louisiana Supreme Court in Corpus Christi Parish Credit Union versus Martin did not reach the constitutional issue, but in a three-justice dissent, they clearly said that Article 2404 had to be found constitutional, that it had to be applied prospective only because of the subsequent inequity that could result from a retroactive holding, but that, of course, the parties before them should be included in that.
Did you say that was a dissenting opinion?
That was the three-justice dissent in Corpus Christi, Your Honor. And it is the only case law where Louisiana Supreme Court has grappled with an unconstitutional holding of Article 2404 and come up with a solution as far as application to the parties or retroactive application.
So it's not a ruling of the Louisiana Supreme Court.
That is correct. But in Lake Incorporated versus Louisiana Power and Light, 330 Southern 2nd, 914, Louisiana Supreme Court did make a prospective-only decision and specifically included the parties before the case. So they have spoken on prospective only and have showed their intention to keep the parties before them.
Of course, they may not have the same case or controversy requirements that the federal judicial system.
Absolutely. Case in controversy is at the basis of the appellee's claim that she is included in the Fifth Circuit. I would like to point out that in its motion, in appellee's motion for affirmance before this court, in the appeal before this court, appellee pointed out that the Fifth Circuit was empowered to decide whether its holding prospective only applied to the party's litigant and that it was not necessary for the appeal to come before this court on that issue. I would also like to speak to a point made by Mr. Kirchberg's attorney that he relied on Article 2404 to his detriment. There's nothing in the record to give evidence of his reliance. He received a note signed by Mr. Feenstra in October of 1974 on a debt of $3,000. And 5 days later, he returned to prison where Mr. Feenstra was and got him to sign the mortgage. I'm sure Mr. Kirchberg was aware at this time there would be no way in which Mrs. Feenstra would agree to such a mortgage, and therefore he was merely trying to cover his options. There's no evidence that he is relying on it. He also was an attorney and practicing for several years in domestic relations work, and he was in practice at this kind of work at the time that Reed and Frontiero were decided, so he should have been aware of those holdings. Furthermore, in practice, there are no other cases of this type pending, and no other mortgages known to be foreclosed in Louisiana. The state of Louisiana.
How about the other community property states, though, that are in the Ninth Circuit?
Well, as I stated before, I'm not aware of any, and I doubt that any could be because I did not believe that they were able to have the husband signing alienating community property without the wife's consent, as Louisiana did. Further, there is the state of Louisiana was my opposing counsel below at the Fifth Circuit. However, they chose not to appeal this decision, and their conspicuous absence in this appeal would point to the fact that there is no reason to suspect that there a unconstitutional holding in particular to Mrs. Feenstra and the mortgage on her home would cause chaos in the commercial transactions of Louisiana. Obviously, the state of Louisiana has deemed its citizens secure and the code secure and has failed to join Mr. Kirchberg in his appeal. In fact, they have moved to dismiss on those grounds, and they moved as appellees. So they are, at this stage of the appeal, joint appellees.
Um,
actually, the state of Louisiana has moved to dismiss as moot, hasn't it?
Yes, which was, they moved to dismiss as moot, but they also made much of their motion was based on the fact that there wasn't a case in controversy below, and now they find that the repeal of the head and master statutes, Article 2404, in their opinion, that was moot, but it was incorrectly so because any mortgage signed after January 1st, 1980 would be affected, but not Mrs. Feenster's mortgage. So there's definitely a live case in controversy before this court. But in their motion to dismiss, they made a point that the Fifth Circuit could reopen its mandate and determine what they meant by a prospective-only holding. This court has continually, in Article III cases, recognized the power of making a decision prospective only, but in all times where an Article III case in controversy was presented, their decision applied to the party's litigant. And I think this is agreed upon by the state of Louisiana. As to Mr. Appellant Kirchberg's contention that there is no need to reach the issue of unconstitutionality because of Mrs. Feenster's ability to file a declaration of homestead. This is a very serious burden imposed upon married women in Louisiana. And under the statute, this declaration was only allowed to be made 6 months after the property was purchased by the wife. The statute provided...
Well, within the first 6 months or after the first 6 months?
After the first 6 months. The first 6 months after the property was purchased, the state of Louisiana left those 6 months for the husband to file a declaration of family homestead. But if he neglected to within those 6 months, then they empowered the wife. So potentially a husband can mortgage the property without his wife's consent, and the declaration would be useless to her if it was done within the first 6 months after purchase.
How about an anti-nuptial agreement?
An anti-nuptial agreement was possible under Louisiana law, but Appellee Feenster would maintain that at all points that did not cure the burdens on her, that an antenuptial contract would have to be signed by both the parties, and a husband, therefore, would have to be required to give up the power that Louisiana had given him under the head and master principle. And this is the wife would be seeking an antenuptial agreement under definitely an unequal bargaining position.
Well, if it's an antenuptial agreement, she can refuse to marry him, I suppose.
I suppose, yes. That's an option. But this declaration merely enhances and buttresses the fact that Mrs. Feenster has been discriminated against and her rights of equal protection have been violated. Under the Louisiana law, as it applied to her, the burdens were all on her to cure a basically unequal law, and in no sense, no matter what she did, would she ever be able to proceed in the power that her husband has under head and master, and that would be having total authority and managerial authority over the community property. No matter what she did, would she be able to stand in that position. Appellee Feenster has not created her own predicament. The state of Louisiana has, by choosing for her a system under which she has no managerial rights under her own property. Article 2404 would force her to relinquish all of her contribution. And the basis of community property is that a husband and wife contribute equally to the marriage and therefore own jointly all the assets of that community. Yet Article 2404 only gives the wife an imperfect ownership right in her own property and gives the husband a perfect right over the entire, her half and his half. And it is not until the marriage is dissolved or his death, that she would be able to sue for fraud or to gain her ownership rights if no fraud was committed or no if the assets were not squandered. And by Louisiana's system of choosing management by the husband alone, it is definitely calling for a different treatment of otherwise similarly situated married persons, and this different treatment is based on sex. It is impossible to view the article in any other terms but a denial of her equal protection. The opt-out provisions, the antenuptial contract, the declarations that were made are all forms in which she, the wife, must has the burden of correcting a definitely inequitable situation. Yet the husband never has that burden. And the declaration was not made light. The ability of Mrs. Feenster to declare a family home was not made light by the Fifth Circuit. They merely pointed out that she would have an additional economic and legal burden, and this could not, and the transactional cost added to the wife, not being added to the husband, was a denial of equal protection. There is no declaration or contract under this Louisiana headmaster system which could ever give the wife a favorable male position of managerial control. I would like to add that the power of the wife to renounce the community under Article 24010, which was presented as a balance to the head and master system, is not a balance. If the code was not balanced equally, and it is not was balanced inequitably against the wife, the wife had all the disadvantages and none of the advantages over her property. Under Article 2410, the wife has a right to renounce at the dissolution of a marriage if her husband has run up debts that exceed the assets of the community. Now, how this such an article can be conceived to balance the head and master system against her is unbelievable to me. Fortunately, this was also repealed, and now in Louisiana there is a strong community property system, a healthy live community property system, but without the discriminatory provisions. The Louisiana legislature, in its wisdom, has adopted a gender-neutral system where both husbands and wives manage equally their property, and have avoided and have chosen the least discriminatory manner possible of regulating marital property to the satisfaction of all parties. And therefore, there is really no reason to believe that a situation of havoc, or that the code has been harmed, or is an unhealthy situation at this point.
What was your claim against the state of Louisiana?
The state of Louisiana was enforcing, by the mortgage, a unconstitutional.
So you asked that there be provision be declared unconstitutional and the state be enjoined from enforcing it?
Yes. And that the mortgage be declared null
and void. And what do you think is left of you won your case, didn't you?
Below, in the Fifth Circuit, yes.
And you won your case. And what do you think, what relief against the state is left after its prospective ruling?
There's really none at this time. The state is in agreement, apparently, by their failure to appeal the unconstitutional holding below, that the state.
But I would say that isn't your position that the state is enjoined from enforcing the provision with respect to your mortgage?
Absolutely.
But it is not enjoined from enforcing the provision with respect to any other mortgage?
Yes. With respect to any other mortgage signed before.
These are just counterclaims you filed. The original action was by the appellant.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Counsel, how about the second paragraph of what used to be Article 2404, where it describes the role of the husband in the marriage, where it says he can make no conveyance inter vivos by a gratuitous title of the immovables of the community. That would sound to me to not fall within the proscription of the Fifth Circuit's reasoning.
Well, it might not, but it, fortunately that has all been solved by the repeal of that act as of January 1st, 1980.
But we still have the problem, yes, of the time between the handing down of the Fifth Circuit's decision and the adoption of the new system on January 1st.
Yes, Your Honor. Let me just check.
It's on page A42 of the statement of jurisdiction.
That also includes movables too, and that is something that is totally out of the realm of what the Fifth Circuit decision article, what they declared as unconstitutional was that his, well, I suppose they declared the entire article unconstitutional.
But yes. Actually, as to the immovables,
yes.
the statute already prescribed it.
That's true. So.
And since January 1st, 1980, under the then and now existing statutes of Louisiana, a mortgage such as that involved in this case would have had to have been signed by husband and wife, is that it?
Yes. Mortgage on property and held in both their names, community property, or property held in the name of one spouse would have to be signed by both parties. Mm-hmm. In effect, that's...
If the property had been acquired during the marriage.
Yes. Community property. That only refers to community property. I would like to point out one question that Justice Blackmun asked of my opposing counsel, and that was why the Fifth Circuit made two separate decisions that look exactly the same. There's one footnote in the second decision that was added. Their opinion was originally amended, and that footnote concerned the decision of the Louisiana Supreme Court in Corpus Christi, and that's why there was the necessity of including both decisions in there. They are not exactly the same. I would like to conclude just on the idea that understanding the facts in this case are really understanding how the law discriminates against women in Louisiana. And Mrs. Feenstra filed criminal charges against her husband to avoid his further molestation of their child. She was merely protecting her family and her own daughter from her husband.
What does that have to do with the issues here now?
It has to do with it in the fact that it enhances the actual discrimination against her, because Mr. Kirchberg is asking that Louisiana enforce a mortgage under which she would lose her home for no other reason but her opposition to the party that's seeking the mortgage. Both legal fees performed by Mr. Kirchberg, that is the separation and the so-called representation in the criminal charges, were in direct opposition to her interests, and yet she is the one that stands to lose from this. Thank you.
Do you have anything further, Mr. Stoneberger? We have a couple of minutes left.
A few brief comments. I would first like to say that
in terms of my client's reliance upon the law, we would point out that Article 2404 was valid in 1974, and we would say there was no other law to rely upon, and he relied upon the law at that time when these acts were executed. We would also say that in terms...
acknowledge that.
Right, right. But, yeah. And, Your Honor, we would also say that this decision would have effects potentially damaging a wife under Kirschberg versus Feenstra, the Fifth Circuit holding, could renounce payment on mortgages executed by the husband alone, so creditors under this holding would be prejudiced by the holding. So we do have problems, and we do have the problem that the mortgage was executed in 1974. And if an order should proceed from this court canceling the inscription of the mortgage would have to be canceled as it would relate back to the date of October of 1974, and therefore all the other mortgages similarly situated after October 1974 would be affected by this holding.
So, counsel, even in community property states which allow the husband to alienate on his own signature community property, so long as it's not in fraud of the rights of the wife, this mortgage would fail, would it not? I mean, certainly this is in fraud of the interests of the wife.
Well, Your Honor, we did not feel that it was in fraud of the interest of the wife.
Thank you, counsel. The case is submitted.